I just keep right on loving you. You see what I'm doing, Bruce? See, I'm loving you. Because you see, I love you. I see the hope of the future in you. That's what I'm doing when I sing it to you. I promise to love you forever. I know you're the strength of my love. And since I have made this endeavor, and with you somehow, you can bet I will love you, love you. I'll be loving you, love you ever, faithful and true. Daytime and nighttime, all the way through, I'll just keep right on loving you. I promise to love you forever, Philip. Know you're the strength of my vow. And since I have made this endeavor, you take me with you somehow. Yes, love you, love you. I'll be loving you. Everything, ever, faithful and true. Daytime and nighttime, and all is through. I'll just keep right on loving you. Once again, I promise to love. Think of somebody now. Think of somebody. You're the strength of my vow. And since I have made this endeavor, you'll take me through with you somehow. Oh, yes, I will. Amen. I'll be loving you. Be faithful and true. Daytime and nighttime and all the day through, I'll just keep right on loving you. Yes, I promise to love God forever. I know you're the strength of my love. And since I have made this endeavor, you'll take me through with you somehow. Loving, loving, I'll be loving you. Daytime and nighttime and all the way through, I'll just keep right on loving you. Thank you. Well, we have two choruses. That's good. Sometimes we have to make them profitable in this way, too. This is a part of it. You can't learn music and inspiration on other worship nights. We may continue. Continue as you feel. If someone wants to exercise their faith for another just 3 or 4 minutes by saying some admonition, do so. It's beautiful. I would add one thing to it. Christian socialism. That's where you take them that stage. You take them stage by stage. Or apostolic Christian socialism. Very beautiful. And we promise to love it forever. I know it's the strength of my vow. And since I have made this endeavor, you take me through with you somehow. Love it. Yes. Thank you. Anyone else with an expression? One expression? Go ahead.
Behold, I have said unto thee, give up thy capital and slave. I have returned with my power and glory to build a new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, to build a new heaven and a new earth would probably be more sound theology.
I would. Sakamoto Harashima. Behold, as was on the day of Pentecost, when they saw the together, had all things in common, and distributed to them as they had need, let us have this here, true Christian socialism, here now on earth. Ah, hallelujah.
You need to preface these things with "the Lord hath declared," or "the Spirit speaketh expressly to the church," something of this nature to give it an endorsement. But now qualify your thoughts in the days ahead with knowledge. Get some knowledge in there. Go through these scriptural concordances and find the blue beautiful quotes that you can cushion in between a scriptural phrase, and it'll be a great help in building the ideal. One voice will reach someone where another one won't. One testimony will open a door, and no one else can succeed. My voice might be associated, its tenor, with the type of voice that has been reflecting negation to the person. Well, they shut you off. Or my prototype, my physique, might be of a negative nature to someone. But some voice out of the great anonymity of the collective whole speaks, opens the door when I've not been able to open the door. But we have to get knowledge there. So let's increase it with knowledge. I'm going to expect more knowledge the next meeting. More knowledge. Anyone else? I like Sweet Love's tongues and listen to it. Sweet Love, speak forth.
The Lord God is here. Yes. Behold, the people is one.
Yes.
Yea, he is. That's it.
Yes. Now, with a message like that, to lengthen it a little bit, if someone even picks up on her tongue, she has a beautiful tongue gift, if someone then gives the admin the prophetic interpretation, because it's a language almost, hers just is someplace deep in the recesses of her consciousness, I would make a stake on it that it's a language that she's used at some stage in her unfoldment in some prior life. Well, we're not here to theorize about the supernatural meaning of it anyway. We're here to utilize it for good. Beautiful. You might.
Four or five words. Half dozen words in tongues. And six dozen words in interpretation do not relate.
No. You need to parallel. You have to make your tongues comparable to the... the sound should be comparable. Unintelligible? An intelligible sound should be equivalent time.
That's right. You go 30 seconds.
Yes, true. Work on that. Yes, Simon?
Who are the noise? Lam! Osha! Boku! Lam!
That's good.
Behold, the people is one! And now they have all one language! And this they begin to do, now nothing shall be refrained from us to do. Whatever our Lord God, Jim Jones, our socialist redeemer, has said for us to do, we shall accomplish. Come on.
Bless you. I would say that's very direct. And to the other who don't understand God in the body, you'll just have to talk to the brother over there so he will understand God in the body. He's caught in it, so he's going to have to understand it. In a way, he's out, he's in it, so he's going to have to understand it. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He said, I am the same. Christ is the same. Now, someone's going to have to talk to him because he's been exposed here, whether wisely or unwisely, he has been. It's not mine to direct or police, but it is thine to do that. And be quick to instruct. If one understands the error of scriptures, then you can open them to new truth. And somebody's going to have to do some work in that area. All right, now, peace. On with the business of building character.
If God is love, then certainly whatever you folk are doing here, if God is love, then certainly there is no question that this is the most God force or Godenic power in the universe. Because there's no place more loving, more honest, more true. Now some of you are going to have to listen to me because you're going to have to do some interpreting over there. I don't know how we get into these binds where people have no preparation and we're caught in it, so we're going to have to get with it and get the instructions across and afterwards have a gathering. Now, if God is love, then nobody can go wrong in this atmosphere. Because this is the most loving place. Not satisfied where we are, but it's the most loving place. We look after children when they're little till they leave this world. We take care of people from the cradle, and we've avoided the grave. And that makes us even more God by scriptural commandments, because we're stopping death. Talking about God in the collective sense, if you can't take it in the personal sense. So we are stopping death. We are stopping social diseases. All the injustices to this family, we resolve. As far as lies within us, we do it. And certainly, though we're not satisfied with our performance, no group, none of these so-called Christians, come anyway near what we're doing. And if they were correct, which is ridiculous, because that scripture about the Antichrist in Matthew 25, you've got no scriptures, folks. There's no substitute for some of this. And they'll come at you with a 24th chapter of Matthew, say there'll be false Christ, lo here and lo there, and they will do these things and that and so forth. But the same chapter says that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. You've got to know that. Because somebody's going to stymie you. What does it mean? A generation is 20 years. That was speaking to that time zone right there. It has nothing to do with 1972. But in the first place, if it did, when the Antichrist can be better than the followers of Christ, you got a weak Jesus, honey. He's mighty weak when those that they call the anti-Jesus people are sweeter, loving, more kind, more holy, more good, more gentle, more peaceful, certainly more peaceful, more sharing. When the anti-Jesus people are more loving and sharing and kind and good than the Jesus people, you better look at your Jesus. He is indeed weak. I'm talking from your frame of reference. We know where Jesus is. If it didn't sound like braggadocio, I'd say exactly where he is. But I don't care whether someone knows where he is as long as they have the spirit of Jesus. That's the difference between me and you Christians. I don't care where the spirit is as long as it's there. You Christians have got to say, you've got to believe that he's this, that, and the other thing. He's a healer, baptizer, going to come again in a rapture, and going to send certain people don't dress right and don't look right to hell and others to heaven. You say, unless you believe that, no good what kind of spirit you got. I say, as long as you're healing the people, as Jesus said, and helping the people, as Jesus said, you're not against us, you're on our part. I say that I'll draw a circle and take you people in while you draw a circle and cut us out as something to flout, shun, and to avoid. So I don't care whether you know where Jesus is. I know where he's sitting. I know where he's standing. I know where he's breathing. But it don't make a difference to me whether you do or not. If you have the spirit of Jesus, I will accept you whether you accept me or not. Now that's bigger love than the love you've come out of. That's a bigger love than your churchianity affords. Because your love is conditional. You say, I love you if you love the same doctrines that I love. You got to believe the same scriptures that I believe. If you don't, I don't even speak to you. Don't tell me that's not what you believe, because that's what you do believe. That's what you've been taught to believe. Don't bid Godspeed to anybody that don't agree with your little old doctrines. Oh, it's hopeless anyway. But try it. Can't get people's attention long enough. You have to hit them in the ass with a big stick. I did it. See, it just won't work. I talk in religion, didn't get nobody's attention. I said, I hit somebody in the ass with a big stick, and they listened. That's why sometimes you have to speak that way to get people's attention. You could pray and you could peel and you could sing and you won't get their attention. It's sweet. I look at you and I get somebody else's attention. I got somebody looking at us. See, if they'll look at me and look at us a while, maybe they'll hear that they're all wet. You see? If they'll look at you and me, maybe I'll get their attention. I'm not even talking to her. I just look at her because I got you to look now and looking at me. And maybe you'll hear me say that you're all wet. You've been in error. You've been misinformed. You've been misused. You've been misused. So sweet. If you can't tell me who Jesus' grandfather is, and you better listen to somebody that's practicing love, and you don't know who Jesus' grandfather is, Matthew 1:16 and Luke 3:23 tells you two different things. Both Matthew 1:16 and Luke 3:23 tell you something different about his great-grandfather. And both chapters disagree as to how many granddaddies he has as they trace him back to that important Abraham, the Melchizedek order. Can't even agree. 15 more granddaddies. Now, if you don't know how many granddaddies Jesus had, you're sad. I better look at you again because I'm getting their attention. Well, I got their attention. It's true. I don't need to cuss. I never have needed to cuss. But if I'll get you to wake up by cussing, I'll cuss till you wake up. It's speaking sweet nothing. And that's what you've been hearing. A lot of hallelujah gibberish and glory to God gibberish that doesn't say a thing. Just sweet talk while you just go on hungering. Go on without love. Go on in your loneliness. Go on in your uncomfortable state. No place to live. No place to take you in. No one to give a damn whether you live or die. Sweet talking you all the way out of your money. Sweet talking you in their fine garb and robes. Sweet talking you as they drive around in their Cadillacs. Sweet talking you, telling you you're going to go to heaven and you don't know whether there's any heaven because they don't look like they're dressed up for heaven. They look like they're dressed up to go out on the town. The preacher look like they're dressed up to go out and shack up with somebody. Ha ha, that woke you up. Look like they're dressed to go every place but heaven. Well, if you're getting ready to go to heaven, you put on a robe. Not going to take anything with you. Just you might as well go naked if you're holy. Because everything will be holy anyway. You'll be like you were in the first Eden. You'll be in the consciousness of Adam and Eve. You won't know any sin. You wouldn't. You'd look at a trot and it'll look like an emerald on a crown. Trot will look like a gem. The breast will look like... just look like one, maybe the breath of an angel. And that's true. Aren't you glad? So you'd be back there naked, ready to go to heaven. The only reason preachers don't get naked is because they got too little to show. That's why they don't get naked. We're still with you. They can make themselves look more seductive with their fine clothes. But inside those fine clothes, they got those old wrinkles from eating the fat of the land while the people starve. Eating too much meat grease while the people aren't even getting chitlins. They don't want to go naked. It's not because they're holy. They like to go naked if it's in the right atmosphere. But not up there trying to lure the saints because they want to look good to lure the saints. Now, I don't know how much truth I've taught, but you know what I've achieved? The people here tonight didn't know anything are listening for the first time. All of the honest polemics and the nice lyrical phrases of the scripture didn't cause any brother to listen. But now he's listening and he's thinking. He may not think just like us because you don't have to think just like us to be with us. But you got to think. So if everybody was getting ready to go to heaven like these churches say, they'd all be naked instead of having Cadillacs. Or at least they'd have some rags, something that they don't need, they wouldn't want to put much money in. If you're getting ready to take a trip, you wouldn't want to invest in something you couldn't take across an ocean. You sure wouldn't buy a great big electric refrigerator if you were going to the jungle where there was no electricity. You wouldn't get a Cadillac if you were going to take a trip where there was no Standard Oil, thank God. No Standard Oil or Union Oil or Atlantic Oil in heaven, thank God. In this socialist paradise I'm working for, there'll be no such things as that. So you, if you're going to go to heaven, going to walk around on streets of gold and have wings, what you need with Cadillacs? All you need is just get your... You were listening that time, so I didn't have to say it. Yes, just clean yourself free.
Amen.
Down to the skin.
Yes.
So there's nothing left hanging on. No flesh. Just free yourself. That's what you do if you're getting ready to get to heaven. They don't look like they're free. Those dirty lying sons of hell. Those evil shyster preachers. You know what I'm talking about when you get through night. You know whether you want to come back or not. I'll tell you that. Dirty, low down sons of hell. Hebrew called them sons of bitches. Jesus called them sons of bitches. That's what he called them. Said, you're sons of bitches. Said, you're sons of bitches. That's what you are.
Evil way.
Why do you listen to that stuff? Now, either get with it. Now, I'm telling you, 96 hours here is long enough. If you don't know this is better than anything you've been in, hit the road. You don't see that there's more care here. Nobody asks you any meal ticket here. Nobody, when you come in our home, say, how much money you got?
Right.
Nobody asks you whether you got a dime. When I picked up older people all over this nation, I never said, how much money you got? I said, get on board, little children. We're not going to wait for heaven. We're going to go out in Redwood Valley and build heaven, by God. I didn't tell anybody to wait for heaven. Didn't tell them when they were in their misery, leave Mother Brown there languishing in want with her old sores that were on her leg that wouldn't heal. I didn't say, Mother Brown, by and by. They're always the last parting note, the evangelist says, the last meeting. Well, keep the faith, honey. We'll see you. If I don't meet you again on this side, I'll meet you over on the other side. I got your money now. I'm going to hit the road, and you can go to hell till we meet you over on the other side. But Jim Jones don't say, meet you over on the other side. He says, get off your ass, get on board, we're going to the promised land. That's the way it is. Come out and set you down. My people, why do they do that? Because they got such a nasty mouth God like I am. Why do you think they feed you? They didn't make a practice of feeding people till I came along. They didn't make it a practice of taking in the people and not asking them how much money they had. They didn't make it a practice of adopting babies and taking no thought for their race. Some of you forget that too, because a lot of you were racistic before you met me. You didn't see color till you met your God on earth. Yes. He was racistic when he was in Pentecost. Now he's one of my best troopers. Fought me in Pentecost, this minister over here. Fought me when he had the Holy Ghost, what you call the Holy Ghost. Fought me when he spoke in tongues. Fought me, Jack Beam. Yeah. Now you want to hear what I'm saying. When he had that Pentecostal ghost, he was mean. This man was mean. He tried to go along with that bunch of thugs. They was throwing me out of a church. And they literally did that. Locked the doors and everything else. Said, you can't bring any blacks here. And he wouldn't come when he was Pentecost. He wouldn't come. He stood up with that bunch of bored thugs when he was Pentecost. He had to lose that old religion to be a loving man. He wasn't a loving man until he lost that old religion. He had to lose it. Of course it's right.
Can you say amen, sister?
Sister Letourneau can say amen, but I know how mean you were.
Right.
I know how mean that dirty board was down at Laurel Street.
Right.
I know how mean they were. I saw them beat on one another. I saw old Dacus hit Price, and I saw that other old rascal, Woodard, get in a fight, and we held one, and one had to hold the other. They had the Holy Ghost. I've seen all those old church people, the ones that made every woman in Indianapolis and left them with children and no money, no finances, no support, run off, took off with the money. The worst bunch were those church people. The best Pentecostals did the dirtiest, meanest, low-downest tricks of anybody I ever met. Now, I don't know why I said all that. I must have been trying to make a point, and I don't know why I keep trying to make points, because most people like to believe lies. They like to believe a lie and be damned, I guess. It's comforting. There's some kind of comfort in it. I heard a word from one of our ladies that left, and Jewel said, came to me over the phone. She said, there isn't the comfort in your religion. And I thought that's the truth. There's no comfort in this ministry of having to be a son of God in the earth. There's no comfort in having to carry the world's weight on your shoulders. There's no particular comfort in knowing that you've got to work out your salvation. That there's no heaven to fly to. There's only heaven if you build one. Heaven will never come till you make it on earth. Well,
no hiding place.
I so much nonsense. This Bible has been so badly interpreted. You take it, you turn it anywhere you want to. I don't care where you want it interpreted. I didn't. This is not supposed to be teaching night, but we got somebody that can be worthwhile to good, or they cannot be. They can go away mad or glad. I just opened it up here. Just throw it open to any place. Timothy, first epistle. Paul, an apostle. Let's see. Of Jesus Christ. Now let's get this down, break it down in simple terms. Paul, an apostle of Jesus the Anointed. If you want to be more exact, the Anointed for this particular time. It comes from a word meaning anointed now.
Are you crazy? Yes.
Now, that's 2,000 years ago. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord, the anointed Christ, which is our hope. Christ is our hope. He brought to them their hope of doing something on earth. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. That's what we try to practice around here. People who are in the faith of what they had on Pentecost, socialism, sharing. That's our sons. Not who's our blood tie, but who is one in the faith. Timothy, my own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Lord is Good Shepherd in the original. Because I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now what's doctrine? Look it up in the, and I haven't had any advanced study of this, but I know this much. Doctrine is way of life. I'm not going to take many verses, but any number of these verses will support our life teaching. Anything you pick in this Bible will support us more than what you've been preaching. No other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables. Fables are superstitious stories of the past. Now hear this, brother. Fable is a superstitious story about a past. A legend, like people walking on waters in the past, or coming from virgins without a father in the past, are multiplying bread instead of a multiplicity of spiritual law, a legend that comes out of it that it's actual bread, are flying up in the sky. That's a fable. You get what I'm talking about? Fables. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Jesus and who he was born and where his heritage. What's the difference? Is in other words what Paul's saying. Trying to trace who came from Melchizedek. Trying to trace who's Abraham's seed. Who is a Jew? What is a Jew? Romans 1 tells you what a Jew is. Circumcision of the heart. There's no such thing as the natural Jew in this consciousness. The Jew is one that lives a lifestyle characteristic that Jesus taught and exercised on the day of Pentecost when he left the earth through his disciples. Now he says, what does these fables do? He said they minister questions, and they surely do, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Find something that'll build godliness. What is God? Love. So find something that'll get people to love one another. Don't talk about fables and genealogies. It's crap. Fables about Noah in the ark and Jonah in a whale and a devil in the hell pitching coal on a fire. That's a fable. A stupid, dumb fable that nobody would believe. Herb Cain said today in his paper, I thought a good one. He says they got some doctor from Ohio that's supposed to be the most electrifying preacher, the most electrifying speaker in the world today. He said, what's electrifying? The ass is over there saying that anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and personal Savior is going to hell and is stupid. I'm adding a phrase there, but this is, in other words, he's stupid. He said, what is electrifying about that? In 1972, is this astounding that some idiot will get up and say that that this is electrifying, that unless you accept Jesus Christ and the virgin birth, that you're going to hell and you're stupid? In other words, he said, he's stupid. He's certainly not electrifying. That's stupid to be preaching that in 1972. I guess some of you don't agree with that. You look funny. Now the end, the next verse, and I had no rehearsing of this at all. We don't teach on Tuesday night. Now the end of the commandment is what? The end of the commandment. Oh, you stupid fools, you jackasses. Look at you getting, I got their attention. Thank you. I'm trying to keep from cussing. So I'm having an effect. If I look at you, somebody else looks at me. Then they listen. If that don't work, I will get my urinal out and see if that will work. And hoko high tie too. And if it's not hokai kai high ho, it's hokai kai high low. It's anyway, we gotta go. Ah, yes, my friend, and I'm still sitting. Well, I'm getting close. You bet I'm getting close. Moving in. Heat is on. Now the end of the commandment, all your stupid commandment, is charity. All God wants from you is to be charitable. And you stupid ass Pentecostals have never been charitable with anything but your hot air. All you've been charitable with is your damned hot air. You never have been charitable with anything but your hot air. You know it's true. Keep the restroom door open. You shan't get away from my words, even if you would take a pee. Aren't you glad? There's only one way to get away from the words of God Almighty, honesty, justice, that I am the God of this nation. The only way to get away from me is to get out from under the sound of my voice and out from under this roof. And even then, I will be there. You can make your beds in all your hells, and I'll be there. You can go to your imaginary heavens, and I will be there. There is no space vacant for my presence, for I am here, there, and everywhere. Socialism, God Almighty. Let not my words deceive you. Let my tongue, that may be somewhat ill-styled according to your imaginary legends, let it not delude you from recognizing that all you said God to be and more is addressing you in this atmosphere right now, God Almighty. Socialism. I need not go further. It goes on and says that some of you have turned from this commandment of charity out of a pure or honest heart and of good conscience and just pure faith, faith unfeigned. And you've turned aside to every wind and wave of doctrine, desiring to be teachers of the law. Catch this. Any verse supports it. That's what they desire. They want to be a teacher. They want to look like somebody. They want to be a big shot. Desiring to be the teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Now, what's the use for law? What is the use for rigid doctrines, rituals, commandments? There's only one use. Here is the use. Knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous man. Law is not made for good folks. Good folks don't need gods, myths, fables, laws, regulations. I'm saying a whole lot of truth, and some of you are not getting it. Good folks don't need gods, commandments, laws, structure, religion. Good folks don't need it. Righteous man does not need religion. Righteous man does not need religion. Only ungodly, only unrighteous, only devils need religion. Religion is an opiate to those that are righteous. Religion is stench in the nostrils of those that are holy. Religion is hell to those that are godlike. Religion is dirty to all those that are in the knowledge of truth. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither not what they say. But we know that the law is good if you use it only for one purpose, for those that are not good. Use it to people that need it. If somebody can't be good for good's sake, then scare hell out of them. Put a whammy on them. Set up a rule. Establish a regulation. If they can't be righteous because they have evolved through the karma of enough reincarnations to know what holiness is, then put a law on their backside or their front side and tighten up the laws and put the screws for however lowly they are. The lower they are, the narrower they are, the more sin-like they are, the more evil they are, the more laws you need. If they're evil, you've got to have a lot of rules. If they're bad, you've got to have a lot of doctrines. Got to tell how many seraphims and cherubims can stand on the head of a pin. You got to tell how many gates there are into the city. Now, I want that brother to find out where in the hell he's going. And let it be a light complexion. I want to find out what he is doing here. If he's here to hear the truth, fine. If he isn't, get his ass on the road right now. Not wandering around here to locate ourselves. Now, I'm back to where I was speaking about the truth. Well, Mother Laterno, if you'd leave too, you're evil, because anyone who has righteous faith, you see, you don't have to. I don't have to hear what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You see, if you have a knowledge, if you would leave, it would be because you need the law. If you left this atmosphere and rejected it tonight, it'd be because you're a sinner. If you left it, it'd be because you are still in the old bondage of the old order. Because if you are lawless, then you don't like anybody to reflect against the law. You want doctrines preached if you're lawless. But if you're righteous, nobody needs to tell you to know God. No one needs to tell you to do good to your neighbor. No one has to say know God or to keep the commandments of God. For the laws and the commandments of God are written on the innermost shrine of the heart. No man in that hour of sonship shall say no God, for all shall know him, from the least to the greatest. Only the lawless like church. Only the lawless like religion. Only those that are in part like some little instructions. But when you see the whole, then you know it's all socialism. It's all equality. It's all harmony. It's all goodness. Then you don't need any more. You have it. As far as religion is concerned. knowing that the law is not made for righteous men or good people, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, children killers, Vietnam destroyers, warmongers. That's who needs religion. Good American Christians. For whoremongers. Now what's a whoremonger? Whoremonger never loves. He just uses. Jumps from one to another. For people that use people. The only place in America that I've ever found, and I'm not happy with where we are, but it's the only place in America that really learning about loving. Every place else, every place in the damned world, it's like I love an orange. And they take that orange and they squeeze it, and they squeeze it, and they squeeze it till there's no life left in the orange. And they throw the orange down. That's what religion is for. For you whoremongers that never could love. You the great lovers that come in, say, I can have a woman a night. That's saying nothing about you but that you're a dirty, old, rotten whoremonger that could never love anybody. Okay. And it's got to be a woman every other night, too. Not the same woman, not twice. Because you might have to love then. You got to have too much contact. Got to be very limited contact. Few minutes, off and on. I want to look in the eyes. Don't want to hear words. Got to be, get out quick. That's what religion is for. Whoremongers. For them that defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers, it comes from a word meaning those that steal the freedom. Steal people's freedom. Slaves, take people into slavery. Come from a word that those that deal in slavery, those that keep people in second-class citizenship, those that make bonds people out of humankind, those that would take someone and, because of their race, make them a slave. That's who needs religion. Yeah. Righteous people don't need the law. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, disobedient, ungodly, sinners, profane, murderers, manslayers, whoremongers, those that defile themselves. Because they can never give anything but take. The liars, the perjured. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now what the heck has it been talking about? Not a thing about what you believe about hell. Not a thing about what you believe about the supernatural. Not a thing about what you believe about God. It's been talking about character. For four verses, it's been talking about character. And it says now that any other person that is contrary to sound way of living, doctrine, needs this. If you don't, and if you've got perfect love, don't need any of it. All the law and the prophets is fulfilled in one saying, love God. Where is God? In a body?
Yes.
In a human being? He is the light that lighteth every man and woman. If you love your neighbor, then you don't need any other of the crap. It's all gone. You don't need contracts when the house is paid for. You throw the contract away. That's what the Bible is. It's a contract until you stupid people learn how to love. And when you become the Word, Son, made flesh, you don't need the Bible. You could use the Bible for toilet paper with more effectiveness. Because you become the hope of the world. You become a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. You become the light of the world. You become a living epistle, read and known of all men. I don't suppose the word is good. Good. Everybody ought to hear this in this atmosphere, because we've got a lot of religious folks here gather on Wednesday and Sunday. Lawless people. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. There's all kinds of gods. But Paul said the blessed God. You have a God in Nazarendom that is a God of hell. Or Pentecostalism that's a God of hell. But he says, I've been preaching according to the glorious gospel, the good news of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's so good. And I go on. And you give me any one of your verses, but I'm not going to take any more time. Any one of your Bibles, lend itself to my teaching, and you say, we don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible. That's your trouble.
That's right.
Well, in the stead now, we'll move on. If you've got your thoughts corrected, and I want to be made some of these holy people to sit down and listen to this sometime, because they're always talking about, we want to get more church. We want to talk more about heaven. We want to sing a little bit more about the Spirit. We want to hear a little bit more about the supernatural. Corrected, and I want to be made some of these holy people to sit down and listen to this sometime, because they're always talking about, we want to get more church. We want to talk more about heaven. We want to sing a little bit more about the Spirit. We want to hear a little bit more about the supernatural. We'd like to hear some more of the mysteries, the fables, the legends. We want to hear the genealogies. And I say, you are lawless. You're disobedient. You're defilers. You're the murderers of men, women, and children. You're the slaveholders. You're the men stealers. You that want to hear about God when the world's hungry. You that want to hear about heaven while the world is dying. You that want to hear about hell and a God, some old stupid God on a throne. You that want to hear about all that while the world is dying for a little bit of love. I say that you are lawless. But the righteous socialist man does not need the law. He does not need religion. He does not need genealogies. He does not need ritual. He needs no songs about a future heaven. For he'll take any sod and clod of dirt and make it his heaven. Give him a moment and he'll turn all your hells into heaven. Just give him a moment and he'll make a heaven out of all your hells that you religious people have created. I thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's what it is. When love has come, all the impart that tells you how to get to it when you got it, what do you need the description? If you've got a gold mine, if you found a treasure, what do you need with a map? If you found the treasure, if you found God, why are you still back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and back there in Romans, or back there in Deuteronomy, or Nehemiah? Why are you back there when God, the gold mine, has come in the might and the power of socialism in the midst of his people? Throw away your old written traditions. Throw them away. As far as your need for them in consciousness, use them to save people from the dirt and the debris and the murder of lawlessness that they're in. But for your own edification, never use them. Use them only to set others free. Thank you. We feel the love that takes us in. We feel the love that counsels us and tells us we're on a wrong road. We feel a love that when you go out and make a mistake, no matter what your mistake, they know who to call. Someone in the authorities came after a rich rancher's son today. Who did they call? They called Jim Jones. Who do they call when their troubles come? So much it's disgusting. They can't come, but they can call when they get into trouble. But they know who will take on the system when the courts pick them up. Mrs. Cleveland, I'm talking about today, big rancher down there, she called right for Jim Jones when her son got in trouble. She can come in here just once in a while. She's just a little too white and a little too rich until she gets in trouble. No, no, we know where heaven is. We don't want to hear. I want to tell you, we wouldn't even listen to your heaven if it wasn't to save good people like some of you that are still lost. We don't want to hear about it. It reeks us. It makes us sick. It's a stench in our nostrils. Heavens and angels with wings. The streets of gold. And tomorrow. You people live in tomorrow land. You make me sick. I've had too much tomorrow land. Some of us have sweat blood to make it a today. To make it today is the day of salvation. We've sweat too much blood. And we shall not go back. Some say, you emancipate them. You free them of all. You just free them. You make it so plain that you can't even keep them in tow anymore. Very well. Very well. I still choose to be honest. There is a danger. Because some of you hear that the laws are for lawless people, so you decide, well, now I don't have anything to be afraid of. The fact is, if you are lawless, you still are an unhealthy creature to be thrown out on the environment. So you better still stay around somebody that knows how to keep you out of trouble. Because some of you have got it in your head, but you haven't got it down to your fingers when you're in a store. Or you haven't got it down to your twat when you're in the bed. So until you know how to get it down to those extremities, you better stay around so somebody can keep you out of trouble.
Right.
So don't be too quick to say, I'm not lawless. But I got a good feeling that some of you still are. Because when you're truly socialist, don't talk to me about stealing. I got the office urge to steal anybody ever had. I can do it well, too. Man, I could go in the store and lift the store and they'd never know what happened. Because I know when somebody's thinking, what they're looking, what they're doing. Don't tell me, because I've had this gift for many a year. In those days of my childhood, I really made a go of it. Oh, yes, I did. Until when I was 10, 12, I knew there wasn't a merchant I couldn't fool. I got stuff I didn't even know what it was for. I walked out with a hydraulic pump at 10 years of age. I wheeled it right out on a wheelbarrow, and they never even knew what went by him. Because I knew what he was doing on a telephone, and I got this thing, what am I going to do with it? I dumped it in an alley. And nobody ever picked me up once. Nobody got my fingerprints. Nobody ever come near my dwelling. Nobody ever looked for me. So what makes me not steal? I could steal and get by. I am too socialistic to take the chance that even a passerby would see me. I know the only Christ the world will see is me. So I'm not going to steal for that reason. When I go to the counter, now I'll get where some of you are, not all stealers. When I go to a counter, I don't speak nasty to people. Because I know the only Christ they're going to see in me. No, when I go and wait and meet somebody, I'm kind, even if they're mean. Unless they're just reprobates and there's nobody else around, I've got a mission to do. But for the most part, I eat crap 24 hours a day. Operators will get me on the phone, just mean. I've got a lot of phone work to do. And they'll get them on these lines, poor black people, and they'll mistreat them because they stereotype an ignorant person or an uneducated person. Just, they think, by the language or the accent. So they interpret that that person's ignorant or black. And I put up with more crap out of those people. But then I will try to win them by some kind of kindness, because I know socialism's at stake. Brotherhood's at stake. I thank the operator. I say, you don't realize that this is a prominent denomination, da-da-da-da. I get in that this is a very wonderful member of this church, and we have these and that, and the other type of persons in our congregation. And I offer to be of assistance. I said, you've been kind, even though I know it's been a drag on you. What is your operator number? More operators have been given praise letters by me, I suppose, than any human being on earth. And you know we do that all the time. An operator's kind, we get their supervisor. I'll call through a long-distance exchange. I say, will you turn me over to your supervisor? When I've got them, you've got to make a long-distance call. Well, you got them? I say, please give me your supervisor. I want to thank them. They'll often stay on to hear what you do. They stay right on there and listen to what you're saying to their supervisor. So here's Brotherhood connected. Everything I do, I want to use it for socialism, because I know the hope of the world is in me. They say, well, you're different. No, I'm no different than you. I'm just an example of what you should be. So every move you make, when you whiz down the road and throw out trash, when you speed around somebody and give them nasty treatment, you edge up on somebody with your bright lights, you better think. You better think. I looked at some behavior the other day. We're so determined to make ourselves known. I saw a group of our people, we wear distinctive hats. You know what I mean? They stereotype you. Distinctive hair. They stereotype you. Cutting up, carrying on the road, down the road. They went, where did I see it? I saw it up here. It's nice, isn't it? It's good to parade your blackness if you are upright. But if I was not living upright, I would get down behind the seat these days. Because some of us are struggling too hard to set mankind free. I wouldn't be parading my afros unless you have some African civilization underneath your hair. If you haven't got some of that great civilization that was lost in Africa, I'd shave my hair as bald as a peacock's. I would shave it. That's something for you to think about. Or anybody else, young Turks with your rebels, white or whatever, and give your peace sign swinging around down the road. I'd keep my peace sign to myself, just like I said over here in this house today. I said, I'm tired, some of you people from Peace Mission, I'm tired of hearing peace when there ain't no peace. I didn't say it that way, but that's what it means. Peace don't mean a damn to me unless you mean what you're saying.
That's right.
Come up to me. I said to you, I'd rather some of you sisters over there say war, because you don't mean peace, you mean war. So when you say peace, you're embracing what God is.
Amen.
God is love, justice, peace. And when you say God's name, don't blaspheme.
Right.
You're taking his name in vain. Say, oh, you're up here cussing. You said ass. That's not cussing.
That's right.
When you cuss is when you say peace. And you mean war. When you say, I bless you in Jesus' name, and you mean everything else but blessings. Then's when you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. Don't you worry about that old fella saying, son of a bitch. He hurt nobody but his mother. And she might have been one. But when you say peace, and there's no peace, you're reflecting on everything that's holy and everything that's sacred. Well, I could go on all night. Let's forget it. Let's go where we are. We've not very much more time to go. Now, we had some swinging times, by the way, over in those houses. And we're going to have continued swinging times. No compromise with childish foolishness. I want it to be understood. If I won't tolerate it in older people, I'm not going to tolerate it in anybody else. I said there's no ordering around, no raising of voices, no unkindness, no talking behind anyone's back. I said there'll not be any discussion in these aged homes about anyone else unless all are together and they're being moderated by Eva or myself or one of the staff. That's the way we want it everywhere, so people can feel like they're not getting cut down every time they turn around.
Right.
Now, if we got that through tonight, Tuesday night would be worthwhile. Because you know that most of you are still guilty of gossiping. Anybody never talked behind anybody back, stand up. Well, we're all guilty then, huh? Come on, who is next?
I'm not getting anything over here. Daryl and David Golden, come up, please. And let's see.
Becca Fox.
And let's see, there was another. What's the little child's name? Is stays with. That you keep. What's his name?
Marston, why don't you, before I make this public,
Robert Johnson also. Little Robert Johnson.
Okay. That's all right. He can go on. Before I make this public about what has been said about the Mendocino State Hospital, why don't you boldly go up and talk to the administrator?
Robert
You're in
Johnson
a position enough you could do that. Just boldly ask him. I don't trust that man any further than I could throw him, you know. Well, get it straighter. As I've still got tomorrow night. I don't want to get into getting people running loose. Because Monday you were quoting to me that he was extending his plan. He's going to have a new class of tech. That's what you told me. I don't know.
Robert?
Come on.
You want all the kids away.
Come up here, Robert.
Well, I didn't hear that part. Well, just get it and we'll go into tomorrow night.
Robert, come up here, son.
Stand up, Robert. Come on. Like everybody else. Everybody. Now, Robert, come on. Stand up. Where are the other kids to be awakened also? There shouldn't be anyone sleeping. None of the children sleeping.
We got a new twist. He says you got your speakers too close to each other, and that's what's causing the trouble. You have to switch those speakers farther apart. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Where is Ronald? Ronald Bagman.
Ronald Bagman?
Ronnie. Get him up here. He needs to be up here in this situation because...
I want to get it straighter. Well, still ask two or three more. I want to do it before I put it out on the floor.
I want to say for the benefit of the rest of you that this would not have come up except in the children's meeting, except for the gravity of the situation, what has occurred. It was it had been instructed that generally matters of children should be taken care of among the children if possible. But before the Sunday, I believe, before we went to Los Angeles. Now, this is just preliminary to what is real issue tonight. Ronnie Bikeman and Robert Johnson were back there under the tables with other kids and were exposing their privates. And the older Zulu boy, I can never get the two apart. David had encouraged him to urinate on the floor back there. Got to Ronald to do it. Of course, we took the two of them in the restroom, counseled them rather severely. Three of us did, and counseled them severely. And as a matter of fact, there was corporal punishment imposed. Now, the David Golden denied vehemently introduced him to the idea. He finally made a few admissions. And finally, to get him to admit it, I said, I don't want to take this to our pastor because he didn't know whether he was telling the truth or not. I said, if you level with us, we'll let you go this time. He said, I did do it.
Say, Dave, now tell me, honey bun, nobody's going to spank on this subject, because it's something that I understand.
Look it up again, boy.
I understand.
Every one of you.
I do not go through any more than understanding that I...